Okay, welcome back. Marty Ozinga. Going to wrap this up with Unit 12. We want to get right into it. You know, most businesses, all businesses are, you know, formed through some kind of financing, equity, debt financing. What are your opinions on, you know, debt and equity financing and how those should be properly used to fund your business?
I think there's an appropriate place for taking on debt. Banks typically exist to provide loans, and the utilization of debt can accelerate your growth opportunities, can accelerate acquisition opportunities, and some debt is even from some tax angles and things like that, probably not a bad business strategy. I have some baseline principles associated with debt. I won't borrow any money from anybody. And of course, a bank wants to know this, unless I fully intend to pay it all back and agree with whatever interest rate in addition to the principal that is being charged. To have an attitude that says, well, look, you're going to loan me money, that means you are taking a risk. And if I can't pay, I just shrug my shoulders and say, sorry, can't pay. Mm-hmm. File bankruptcy, seek some other kind of protection, but the outcome is sorry, bank or whoever you borrowed from, you don't get in, you don't get paid back. I won't do that. I fully intend to limit my borrowing to an amount of money that I can pay back. Not that I have it in hand, but that I have assets that exceed the value, and if I have to sell those assets in order to pay my debt, I understand that that's what I have to do. There's a lot of disagreement on that, but that's my principle. I'm not going to accuse anyone of violating some higher law by going bankrupt, or there are circumstances that you find yourself in that are beyond your control. The problem isn't that the circumstances are beyond your control, but that you borrowed more money than maybe you should have, because now you're in a situation where you can't pay it back.
Sure.
I won't do that. That's principle number one. Number two, sometimes people look at debt, and they call I'm going to bet the farm on this one, and they'll borrow up to 100% of what their assets are worth. So if it doesn't work out, they lose it all. And I'm not inclined to do that. I don't think that's a wise thing to do. I'm in a business that has ups and downs that affect my ability to be profitable and make money, and the ups and downs are completely out of my control. I don't make the market that I exist in. The overall health of the American economy, as it goes up and down, so does my business, and there's nothing I can do to offset that. So the risk has got to be limited to what's prudent. In 1908, the economy in the United States kind of went over the cliff, and it had an extremely detrimental effect on the construction and development industry. Home building stopped, factories and other private construction projects stopped, and all of a sudden, no one had any money, and because these projects stopped, nobody needed concrete. What do you do with concrete plants and concrete trucks if nobody needs concrete? I can't put a big sign up on a street saying concrete on sale next week. People don't come running in to buy it. It's not like clothes or food or something people need. So there was nothing you could do to change that circumstance. And thankfully, we weren't in a financial situation where we couldn't pay our debts. We were able, with restructuring our business and tightening the belt, as they say, by cutting our costs and limiting our level of activity, to be able to continue to pay our obligations without any default, and buy the time necessary to weather the storm, as they say, and survive. Not an easy thing to do. It was the first time in my business career that we ever went backwards. First time I ever had to go to any employees and say, I don't have enough work to keep you busy, and I can't afford to keep you on the payroll. I have to lay you off. I never had to do that.
Wow.
In my entire business career, it was always grow, 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 add more people, provide more jobs.
Interesting.
And, of course, I do so in a way that, you know, now you're part of the family, we're working together for success, and now I have to go to certain family members and say, you're not in the family anymore.
That's tough.
You're out. And not a pleasant thing at all.
Mm-hmm.
Some really hard lessons. And as hard and as negative as that all experience was, it did led to growth opportunities, because not only was I having financial difficulty, but my competitors were even in worse shape. And some of them were going bankrupt, broke, out of business, wanted to sell their business. And all of a sudden, I found myself in a situation where we were much healthier and were able to acquire several of these business opportunities. And before the whole recession was over, grow our company quite a bit with far less money needed to do these acquisitions than otherwise. So there were good opportunities that came out of it. But for the really low period, that was tough. It was a really tough time.
What about bringing on equity partners? Have you brought on equity partners in the past? Or?
No, we haven't. We're a family business, and it's just strictly our own immediate family. We have growth opportunities that knock on the door occasionally that we don't have money for. We don't have a borrowing base or limits for, or we're not willing to borrow the money. And so there has been some discussion. Well, one source of getting funds is to go to the public markets. In other words, instead of a private company, become a publicly traded company. That's just another way of selling your business, basically, because
sure.
You don't own it anymore. Mm-hmm. The public does. Or we go to investment bankers and people like that and ask if they want to invest in the business. We have never done that because their goals and their vision is not compatible with ours. And we just don't allow ourselves to get in that trap.
Which is smart. You don't want to lose any control over your business. You want to make sure that, you know, and when shareholders get involved and majority...
If our business was just about making money,
mm-hmm.
Why would we care? But we're doing a lot more through our business than just making money.
Totally impacting people.
Exactly. And it's a mission.
That's right.
And if we sold our business, then we're done. And then what do?
That's true. And like you said, you know, a lot of these investment bankers, they may have more of a secular mindset.
Oh, yeah.
They may be, you know,
they
aligned
do.
With the Christian worldview.
They definitely do.
And you know, that's like
their bottom line is making money.
That's right. They want a return on their investment, and they want, you know.
Understandably, but,
sure.
But that's just not why we exist.
That's right. That's right. Well, and that's why God's blessed you so much, I truly believe.
Absolutely.
As your focus has been God-centered.
Yep.
And you've continued to push that as part of your culture. And, you know, your employees seem, you know, obviously it's a family environment.
We're on mission. Our business is a ministry. And we own and operate our business to honor and glorify God and serve the crown of His creation. I say that over and over and over, and I say that to our employees because I want them to know how we see things. And I basically want them to catch on mm-hmm. and find out that the satisfaction and the enjoyment of a job well done comes from understanding why we exist, and that the investment we're making is an eternal one, and it goes far beyond just day-to-day earning a living.
This goes back to Marty's vision of, you know, being an entrepreneur, being a servant at heart, you know, living for Christ and being in the will of God. All of these things are a culmination that has, I believe, made Marty the success story that he is today. And without God and without the Spirit of Christ dwelling inside of us, you know, maybe a lot of these things aren't possible that happened to you and the success that you've had and the culture you've created.
Yeah, I that's how I feel. It wouldn't have been the same thing at all, and much less even possible. So
it goes back to the true bivocational ministers that we are trying to put out into the world, that we're trying to train up here at CLI. You know, Marty is a visionary, a vision partner here at CLI, so he knows what it's like to be on the ground floor here, to get his hands dirty, to push that worldview for Christ, so that we're able to create real leaders out in our communities, for Christ, so that we can transform the world in the fact that now Christ will be exalted and God will be glorified by everybody. That's our goal, right? We want to reach the world. We don't want to be the chaff. We want to be the wheat.
Yep, right. Absolutely.
So, Marty, I've totally enjoyed this entire series.
Good.
This has been a lot of fun.
Yep.
You know, we'll have to visit again soon.
Yeah, it's been a great privilege and opportunity for me. I hope that my contribution has offered some value and some benefit to all of you folks all around the world that are interested in business. And I want you to understand that business is a call of God and a ministry that as a Christian is a high calling, a calling that can affect and change lives now and eternally.
Great stuff. Look, you are making such an impact in people's lives. I already know you are. I mean, just meeting with you today and talking with you and seeing your passion and knowing your vision and, hearing about the things that you've done and that you're doing right now, this will be a huge asset to all of our students, as they go on to be marketplace ministers, as they continue to be bivocational ministers. Guys, take this with you. Understand that Marty is coming from a position of experience, a wealth of knowledge, a ton of wisdom, a godly man that loves the Lord, that wants to serve. This is an opportunity for you to take away some, big advice, some great words, and some words of wisdom that you can apply directly to your life, that you can apply to your business. As you become an entrepreneur, you'll be able to adopt some of these principles and foundations that Marty has laid out for us today. So
yep,
thanks
good.
Again so much. You're an huge asset.
Yep.
Amen. All right. Thank you again.
All right.
Thank you.
Good.